an atheist. Mr. J.B.D. was an educated man, but saturated to the core with materialistic ideas. He believed neither in God nor the existence of the soul. At the request of a relative, he was evoked at the Spiritist Society 2 years after his death. 1. Evocation. I'm suffering. I'm a reprobate. 2. We have been asked to evoke you on behalf of your relatives who want to know about your fate. Tell us if our evocation is agreeable or painful to you. Painful. 3. Was your death intentional? Yes. The spirit writes with extreme difficulty. The handwriting is large, irregular, shaky, and almost illegible. At the outset, he shows his anger by breaking the pencil and tearing the paper. 4. Do compose yourself. We will all pray to God for you. I am being forced to believe in God. 5. What motive did you have for killing yourself? Weariness of a life without hope. One thinks about suicide when life is hopeless. One also wants to escape unhappiness at any price. With Spiritism, the future unfolds and hope is legitimized, leaving suicide without purpose. Moreover, one realizes that through suicide one does not escape an evil, but falls into another one 100 times worse. That is why Spiritism already has saved so many victims from committing intentional death. Extremely guilty are those who, through scientific sophisms and the so-called name of reason, endeavor to believe in the desperate idea, the source of so many crimes and evils, that everything ends at death. They will be responsible not only for their own errors, but also for all the evils they have caused. Six. You wanted to escape the vicissitudes of life. Did you gain anything? Are you happier now? Why doesn't nothingness exist? 7. Please be so kind as to describe to us as well as possible what your present situation is. I'm suffering in being obliged to believe in everything I used to deny. My soul is like a furnace. It is being tormented horribly. 8. Where did you get the materialistic ideas you had when alive? In a previous existence, I was evil and my spirit was condemned to suffer the torments of uncertainty throughout my life. That is why I killed myself. There is a whole corollary of ideas here. We often ask how there can be materialists, because, having passed through the spirit world, they should therefore have an intuition about it. Well, it is precisely this intuition that is denied to some spirits, who have preserved their pride and have not repented of their wrongs. Their trial consists in acquiring, during corporeal life and through their own reasoning, proof of the existence of God and the future life that they have incessantly in front of them. Often, however, their self-conceit at not believing in anything above themselves prevails, and they must endure grief until their pride is overcome and they finally surrender to the evidence. 9. When you drowned yourself, what did you think would happen to you? What were you thinking at the time? Nothing. It was nothingness for me. Afterward, I saw that I hadn't undergone all my punishment by committing suicide. I still had more to suffer. 10. Are you now thoroughly convinced about the existence of God, the soul, and the future life? Alas, I am terribly tormented because of it. 11. Have you seen your brother? Oh, no. 12. And why not? Why bring our torment together? Misfortune separates. Fortune reunites, alas. 13. Would you feel comfortable at seeing your brother? We could evoke him and thereby bring you together. No, don't. I'm too low for that. 14. Why don't you want us to evoke him? Because he isn't happy either. 15. You are afraid of his presence, yet it might be beneficial to you. Not now, later. 16. Do you have any message for your relatives? That they pray for me. 17. It seems that in the social circles you used to frequent when alive, some people shared in your opinions. Would you have anything to say to them on the subject? Oh, those wretches! May they believe in another existence. That is the happiest wish I have for them. If they could understand my sad situation, it would make them think harder. Evocation of the brother, who had professed the same theories but did not commit suicide. Although he too is unhappy, he is calmer and his writing is clearer and more legible. 18. Evocation. May the picture of our suffering be a useful lesson to you and persuade you that another life exists where one expiates one's wrongs and disbelief. 19. Can you see your brother, whom we have just finished evoking? No, he is fleeing from me. One might ask how spirits can avoid one another in the spirit world, since there are no physical obstacles or refuges that are impenetrable to sight. However, everything is relative in that world and conforms to the fluidic nature of the beings who live there. Only high-order spirits have unlimited perception. It is limited in low-order ones. For the latter, fluidic obstacles are the same as physical ones. Spirits hide themselves from others by their will, which acts upon their paraspiritual envelope and the surrounding fluids. Nonetheless, Providence, who watches over each one individually like a mother over her children, grants or denies this faculty according to each spirit's moral disposition. Depending on the circumstances, it comprises either punishment or recompense. 20. You are calmer than your brother. Could you provide a more precise description of your suffering? There on earth, don't your self-centeredness and pride suffer when you are obliged to admit your mistakes? Doesn't your spirit revolt at the idea of being humbled by someone who points out your errors? Well, just what do you think a spirit suffers who, throughout its entire life, was persuaded that nothing existed beyond itself and that it was always right? Finding itself suddenly confronted with the obvious truth, such a spirit feels annihilated, humiliated. Combined with this is the regret of having for so long forgotten the existence of such a good and tolerant God. Its condition is unbearable. It finds neither peace nor repose. It will not find even a little quiet except in the moment when divine grace, that is, God's love, touches it, because pride has taken hold of the poor spirit and envelops it entirely. It will need a lot of time to rid itself of that deadly garment. Only the prayers of our brothers can help us out of this anguish. 21. Do you mean incarnate brothers or do you mean spirits? Both. 22. While we were interviewing your brother, one of the persons here was praying for him. Did this prayer do him any good? It wasn't a waste. If for now he refuses grace, he won't when he finds himself in a state where he will have recourse to that divine panacea. We see here another kind of punishment. Punishment is thus not the same for all disbelievers. For this spirit, besides his suffering, is the necessity of recognizing the truths that he reneged on while alive. His current ideas reveal a certain degree of advancement compared to other spirits who persist in denying God. It is already some sign of advancement and humility to confess that one was wrong. In a subsequent incarnation, it is more than probable that his disbelief will give way to the innate sentiment of faith. When we delivered the results of these two evocations to the person who had made the request, we received the following response. Sir, you can't imagine the huge relief that the evocation of my father-in-law and my uncle has brought me. We recognize them perfectly. The writing of my father-in-law, especially, is remarkably similar to when he was alive, especially during his last few months with us, when it was jerky and indecipherable. Further confirmation may be found in the long strokes, initials, and various letters, which are the same. As for vocabulary, expressions, and style, the resemblance is even more striking. For us, the similarity is complete except for his now greater knowledge of God, the soul, and the eternal life that he so formally denied before. We are therefore perfectly convinced of his identity. God will be glorified by our firm belief in Spiritism, and our incarnate and discarnate friends will become better because of it. The identity of his brother is no less obvious, the immense change from atheist into believer notwithstanding. We recognize his character, style, and turns of phrase. One word especially grabbed our attention, panacea, a favorite word of his, which he said and repeated all the time for all things. I showed the two communications to several persons who marveled at their veracity. However, the disbelievers who held the same opinions as my two relatives want even more categorical responses. For example, they would like for M.D. to disclose the place where he was buried, where he drowned himself, how he was discovered, etc., in order to satisfy and convince them. Would it be possible for you to evoke him again, and if so, to ask the following questions? Where and how did he commit suicide? How long was he submerged? Where was his body found? Where was he buried? And whether a religious or civil funeral was given to him? I beg of you, sir, to provide a categorical response to these questions, as it is essential for those who still doubt. I am convinced that great benefit will come of it. I'm ensuring that my letter gets to you by tomorrow, Friday, so that you can make the evocation at the Society's session that same day, etc. We have reproduced the above letter because of the fact that it confirms the spirit's identities, and below we have attached our response to it in order to instruct individuals who are not familiar with communications from the beyond. The additional questions you have asked us to address to the spirit of your father-in-law were incontestably stated with a praiseworthy purpose in mind, to convince disbelievers. Since you yourself no longer harbor any sentiments of doubt or curiosity. However, a deeper understanding of the Spiritist science would lead you to understand that the questions are superfluous. In the first place, asking me to have your father-in-law answer with a categorical response shows that you do not understand the fact that we cannot control spirits at will. They respond whenever and however they want, and often only as they are able. Their freedom of action is greater than when they were alive, and they possess ways of avoiding any mental coercion we might wish to exert over them. The best proofs of identity are the ones they themselves furnish spontaneously of their own accord or which arise from the circumstances. Hence, it is almost always futile to try to induce them to provide proofs. According to what you have said, your relative has proven his identity beyond a doubt. Consequently, it is more than probable that he would refuse to answer questions that he might regard as superfluous and meant to satisfy the curiosity of individuals who are indifferent to him. His response could very well be the one received by others in similar cases. Why are you asking things you already know about? To this, I would add that the confusion and suffering he is experiencing could be aggravated by interrogations of this nature. It would be like trying to elicit from a very ill person the details of his life while he can hardly think or speak. It would show a real lack of consideration for his situation. As for the result you are expecting, you can be sure that it would be fruitless. The proofs of identity that your father-in-law has furnished carry more weight because they occurred spontaneously. No clues were given beforehand. Thus, if these disbelievers are not satisfied with proofs of this type, they might be even less satisfied by pre-established questions that could be suspected of having been born out of complicity. There are persons who are not convinced by anything, no matter what. They could see your relative in person with their own two eyes and still affirm that they are victims of a hallucination. Sir, a few more words regarding your request for an evocation to be made on the same day I received your letter. Evocations cannot be done on the spur of the moment. Spirits do not always respond to our appeal. For them to respond, they must be both able and willing. Additionally, there must be a suitable medium endowed with the necessary special aptitudes available at the time. Finally, the surroundings must be agreeable to the spirit, etc. In other words, all the unpredictable yet important circumstances must be present if one wants to proceed profitably.